Hello, hello. Welcome back to Art House Garage. I'm Andrew Sweatman. Today we are discussing a very interesting new movie called The Lighthouse. This is a movie from A24, directed by Robert Eggers. And if you've seen anything in the marketing about this, you know it is a bit unusual. This stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson as two lighthouse keepers who are in isolation on an island taking care of this lighthouse, and essentially their relationship goes sour, goes to a lot of different places. It's a very stylish, confounding, ambiguous, messy sort of a film. It's kind of been billed as a horror film. We talk about that in this discussion, about how it doesn't exactly fit that bill. It is shot in black and white. It is shot in a very boxy aspect ratio. And it's not like most of the things you see in the theaters these days, but both my guest and I really connected with it and found it very thought-provoking, and we have a great discussion about this movie. My guest today is a filmmaker named James Basham. He is actually graduating film school next month, I think, and he'll be out in the world making movies. I first encountered James at the Made in Arkansas Film Festival. I saw his short film, Frank, and thought it was very stylish and very funny, and then met him in person some months later at an Arkansas Cinema Society event. James has directed a number of short films. He has another one coming up soon called The Yankee. The trailer is out for that. He is going to have a screening of that in January. So if you live in the central Arkansas area, you should go to Ron Robinson and check that out. I will put in the show notes some links to his films as well as information on how to attend that screening that's coming up in a couple of months here. He's a great guy, very fun to talk to, very thoughtful, and he has an eye, I think, that is really, really well suited towards a movie like The Lighthouse. He has a breadth of knowledge about art film and classic film that I think brought a lot of interesting things to this discussion. We talk about Ingmar Bergman and his influence on Robert Eggers and how it plays out in this movie. And we just talk a lot about the dynamics between Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe's characters and toxic masculinity and sexuality and how that all plays into this very interesting, unusual movie that is going to stick with us for a long time. I'll stop telling you about what we discussed and just let you hear the discussion. Here is my talk with James Basham about Robert Eggers' The Lighthouse.
Tell me, what's a timberman want with being a wiki?
Just looking to earn a living, just like any man. Starting new.
On the run. Keeping secrets, are you?
No, sir.
Watch you spill your beans. Watch you spill your beans.
Welcome to the podcast, James Basham. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure, and I'm really excited to talk about today's movie, The Lighthouse. First of all, how many times have you seen it?
So I've seen The Lighthouse three times. I had to think about it. Wow. This isn't the one I've seen the most, though. This year I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood six times in theaters.
Six times.
And The Lighthouse three times. It's because I am very cynical and think I might not be able to see movies that are this good again in my future, so I might as well see them in theaters while I can.
For sure, so. Yeah. It's not every day a Quentin Tarantino movie comes out. I'm going to make the most of it.
Yeah. Yeah, not every day you get a 1:9 aspect ratio movie in black and white
in
theaters. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so on that note, I've only seen it once, but I've tried to find as many clips to rewatch on YouTube and stuff since then. But I had quite an experience watching this. So my first question about this is, it's it's a messy and interesting movie. It's it's very stylish. It's, you know, it's got that aspect ratio, nice black and white, a very rich kind of black and white. I think the period setting is so well done, I think, in the costume design and the set design and all of that. I have seen some people being a little divided on whether it actually has any substance as far as like what it's saying, what does it mean, because it is pretty messy and pretty ambiguous. Do you think that it has something to say, or do you think it's mostly just an exercise in style?
I think it has a lot to say, personally. I think with this film, what blew me away with this film and the reason I keep going back and watching it was the characters and how they're written.
Yeah.
And the dialogue, which is something that I don't think is getting talked about a lot, is how rich and good the dialogue is and how deep the characters are and how much exploration there is in studying the performances of Pattinson and Defoe, because they're both such leveled performances. Mm. There's so many levels to their performances. And I come from like a camp of I'm like, we need to talk about how good the script is for this movie, because I think the script for this movie is fantastic, and I think the dialogue's fantastic. I mean, visually it's amazing, of course, but for me, what kept blowing me away was the two performances, how it feels like this two-man show that I'm watching like a play. It felt like I was watching a play in a way, and I think people, I don't know, I think this is a film that I think it's going to take years to study. You know, we study literature in school. This is one of those art pieces that it's going to take. There's a lot of study that you have to do on this film and a lot of homework. You know,
it's
you have
not
to
a quick reaction kind of movie necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the first time I watched it, I was blown away by the performances and the dialogue and everything like that. And I went, I want to go see this again so I can create an analysis for this movie. And I think that's something to praise.
Yeah, yeah, you can almost have that first initial experience with it and just kind of get lost in it and maybe feel like you're going crazy a little bit. And then you can study it. It's very dense. I think the dialogue is very dense too, especially Willem Dafoe. He's very kind of, I don't know, Captain Ahab vibes with the way he's speaking. And even just, you know, we're not typically used to hearing that kind of dialogue in a movie theater.
No.
And so you almost want to hear it multiple times just so you can catch a word, because it is dense and very stylized, literary style.
It's kind of like when I would watch movies that are British films or Irish accents. Sometimes you have to put subtitles on because it's such a dialect we're not used to hearing. So I probably, when I get this movie on Blu-ray, I'm probably going to put the subtitles on so I can catch every single line.
I completely agree. Even just watching some YouTube clips, a few of them had subtitles. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize exactly what he was saying there, like in catching more detail.
Very Shakespearean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, do you think you can talk about what you think this movie means without talking about spoilers yet? Or do we need to wait for the end? Okay, go for it.
Yeah, I can. I'll go in deeper when we can talk about spoilers. Sure. I think this film, from my reading of this film, I think it's about isolation. I think it's about the character of Winslow and his isolation from everything in his life. And sort of this idea of kind of doppelganger masculinity as well. And because he doesn't want to drink, he wants to like follow the rules, but Willem Dafoe's like, you got to drink. There's this kind of, I don't know, there's a lot of,
it's layered, I think.
A lot of layers to that idea. And the first time I watched it, I felt like, okay, I think there's more to this aspect ratio than just we want it to look like a German expressionist film. I think that there's this sense of isolation and being what's the word when you're in a small room and
confined.
You're,
I don't know why I'm blanking. It's very confined.
Confined.
Kind of claustrophobic almost.
You feel very confined, and you never, the only time you ever leave the island is or wherever they're on. You're on that boat at the beginning, but that's it. And I think there is a sense of isolation and being in one's own head, and
like they're
kind of a sense of jealousy.
Yeah,
like masculine jealousy and desire.
Yeah,
and
I do. Yeah,
there's a lot of interesting ideas in the movie. I think, yeah, and this movie kind of I felt this movie in the sense of Pattinson's character. This reminded me of when I was a kid and I would mow the lawn for my dad, and he was a very particular person, and if I didn't do it right, I had to like redo it.
Yeah,
and I kind of related to Pattinson's character, what he was dealing with, because this guy's giving him a lot of grief,
like clean the floor better,
for not doing that. So I there were a lot of things just like character wise that spoke to me.
Yeah,
and kind of authority. There are a lot of stuff like that. I'm all over the place. But
no,
yeah.
No, that's my main takeaway too. Is like masculinity and power struggle a little bit. And I think particularly masculinity. You know, they are at odds for a lot of it. We actually they kind of run the gamut. They're really close at some moments. They sound like an old married couple at some moments. They're like fighting roommates a lot. There is a clear power dynamic sometimes. And I think that I was trying to think, you know, put on my English major hat and think about like, what is the actual lighthouse? Does it symbolize something? I think there are moments when it almost, there's almost like a phallicness, like the masculinity of that. And as far as that goes with power struggle and whatever Willem Dafoe's doing at the top of the lighthouse. And there's sexuality tied into that, it seems like, as well. And it's a very kind of messy way to explore all of that, I think. And I think it does work really well, even though it doesn't really tie up into a nice neat bow at the end. It's it hits a lot of different beats and explores that theme, I think, really well.
There's kind of like a dirtiness to the movie.
Yeah.
Where you feel like you're kind of trapped in this like dirty erotic mind.
Yeah.
And you wonder if that's are we inside, whose mind are we inside of of either character, you know? Because we could be inside of Thomas's bizarre mind, but we also could be inside of Winslow's mind, or we don't know who's kind of running this whole thing, who is the
The narrator, sort of, and almost maybe seems to go back and forth. Like there's moments like when he's thinking about the mermaid and all of that, like implicitly sexualized, and like I think we're in his head with that. And then I think, and we'll talk about our favorite images from the movie, but there's some moments he's picturing Willem Dafoe in different ways that seems to me like he's fearful of his power, perceived power, and that kind of thing. It's really,
and also wants something he has
the jealousy there.
There's a little desire there, and that's kind of where the phallic symbol come from. And Willem Dafoe, when he goes up to the lighthouse, did you feel like did you feel like the scene where Robert Pattinson sneaks up there and sees the thing that's going on up there, did you think that was a dream or did you think that was real? Because
I'm not sure. I don't know is the basic answer.
I don't know, because the film kind of sets it up. He could answer both, because it then cuts to Pattinson coming downstairs. And
He
could have just woken up, but we never saw him wake up.
So it does show. I don't think it's a spoiler to say, because there's a shot of it in one of the trailers. Some sort of creaturized situation happening, and I think there's like two moments in the movie where you catch even just a glimpse of a creature kind of thing. And so I guess the question is whether that's real or if that's in his head. I don't know. Something is going on at the top of the lighthouse, and we'll talk more at the end of the podcast about the very end of the movie in spoiler talk.
Yeah. Because there's a few, especially when he goes up to Willem Dafoe, there's one little thing that when I first saw it, I thought it was something, and then it wasn't that thing the second time I saw it, but then I was like, oh, maybe I was supposed to think that because there's some Freudian thing, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, well, we can jump into our kind of our favorite image from the movie, because that is kind of transitioned into mine. There's a moment, I'm trying to remember if it's during the scene where he's looking at the mermaid statue, or if it's I think it's later when he's just feeling very fearful. It's just a flash, and there's almost a still image of Willem Dafoe looking down at him, and he almost becomes the lighthouse, and he's naked, and he's standing still in this kind of Greek statue-looking pose, and the light of the lighthouse is coming out of his eyes, and it's very bizarre and very eye-catching. And so that, for me, is the moment that stood out visually as just like, wow, there's a lot going on in this frame, and it's going to be something to think about for a while, like what's going on here.
Yeah, I think the best image-wise, my favorite images are, I love the close-ups. Because I know Robert Edgar's love of the Swedish filmmaker Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
But Ingmar Bergman, you know, he was known for his close-ups, his black and white 4x3 close-ups, and how they made the face look, and how the image, how he could capture a face in such a pure, clean way. And there's a moment when Winslow is going into the water, and it's kind of that image of his face moving forward in the water. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
It's in the trailer. And I just, something about the way the water looks, Pattinson's face, just where the face is in construct of the symmetry of the image, like, just beautiful. That's my favorite.
I like that. That's cool.
Trailer, I think. Yeah.
I wanted to bring up, we can talk, there's another great, I mean, the final shot. Again, we won't spoil it yet, but it's so good. That's an honorable mention. It's really pretty fantastic. But I wanted to bring up Bergman because I've listened to Robert Eggers on the A24 podcast that he's on one episode talking to Ari Aster, who made Hereditary and Midsommar. And they talk a lot about Bergman, and so I haven't seen a ton of Bergman films. I've seen, I've over time been marathoning through them. But as this was opening up, I immediately thought of Through a Glass Darkly, because it's a very similar setting.
That's my favorite.
It's so good. And they're on an island, and there's weird sexual tension happening. So I felt like there were a lot of touchstones. It felt familiar to that.
Yeah.
Plus all the close-ups.
I thought of Through a Glass Darkly. I also thought of Winter Light. Have you seen Winter Light?
I have not.
And definitely very Wild Strawberries as well.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I have seen Wild Strawberries,
Wild Strawberries, like, deals with dreams, and I can see a little bit of that. But, yeah, Through a Glass Darkly was also the one I thought. That's my favorite Bergman movie. That and Seventh Seal are, like, my two favorites.
Wait, Winter Light is one about the priest. Is that right?
Yes,
I have seen it. I loved that movie.
Fantastic. And one day when I have enough money, I'm going to buy the Criterion with Winter Light and Through a Glass Darkly on it together. But I think that it had some Seventh Seal vibes too, where you have the two characters kind of playing off of each other and
battling wills almost a little bit.
Yeah, I think the thing about this movie that I always think about is I don't think it really is a horror movie. I
had feel the like same, it's a drama. Same exact thing. I saw the word horror in connection to it like last week because I was looking some things up, and I was like, this really doesn't feel like what I think of as a horror movie. But drama, even comedic a lot of times.
I thought of, and that's funny that you mentioned the Ari Aster thing, because I felt the same way about Midsommar, where I felt like I was watching a drama when I was watching Midsommar, and there were funny elements too. Mm-hmm. And I felt the same way about Lighthouse. So it's kind of interesting. I think A24 is kind of, they've kind of seen like, oh, if we can market these as horror movies and both
Robert Eggers and Robert Eggers and Ari Aster, their first one I think is a lot more straightforward horror. Think about Hereditary and The Witch.
Makes sense
to market them that way. Yeah, A24 marketing.
Yeah,
they do the best work over there. What about just a favorite moment, whether it's tied to an image or just a dialogue or anything like that?
Anything in black and white, men smoking pipes, like I'm gonna love it.
Around the table,
and I think anytime those two were just drinking together and just talking.
Yeah.
And I think those were my favorite moments, because just seeing these guys, when those two got along, I really enjoyed it. Any scene of them drinking, dancing, I really enjoyed those scenes because I felt like it was a moment to get to know these two guys and get to see them. I don't know. And then it kind of developed into, you know, it pushes the narrative forward because they start drinking, they start having fun, they get a little too comfortable with one another. And then things get revealed. And it kind of pushes the, I think any scene with those two eating and drinking.
They have amazing chemistry throughout this whole thing.
Oh my gosh. Just incredible.
Fantastic casting. My favorite moment, I mean, it's a funny moment and it's kind of maybe cliche because it's in trailers and things, but the you're fond of me lobster situation,
yeah,
whole fight and the big, you know, invoking the god Neptune to strike you down and all that, that made me laugh so hard, and it's so, even that watching it again, funny. It's so funny.
Yeah that was funny because it was so, it felt a little, it was so like funny banter. It felt so like gaggy. It was so fun. Yeah, that is a good moment. I like that moment. And what's the other one that, there was another one that made me laugh.
Was it the fart? Him yelling about his farts?
Yeah, the farts. The farts. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I was so like, funny. I got to talk about the thing that made me laugh. Was the farts. Because
I'm so sick of your farts.
And that's the first A24 movie to have farts in it. Swiss Army Man's got a bunch of farts. But when that first fart came on screen, I was like, I like this. I think this, what this movie did well is I don't think it took itself too seriously, which I think a few A24 movies kind of take themselves too seriously and they're like, oh, we're A24, we're RC, you know. But this movie kind of, I think this movie could appeal to people that aren't really film historians or theorists.
Yeah. And that first fart that you hear too is funny because you hear him peeing before you're almost like, is that the sound of someone? You're almost like not sure. Is that the sound of someone peeing? And then he farts at, you know, like, yeah, that must be what that was. And then he confronts him at the end. And that's so funny.
And it's almost like he's messing, like he's just trying to piss him off, He's just farting in his face.
that was one. If there was anything horrific, it's like that chamber pot is way too close to both of their beds. Like, put that on the other side of the room.
I get too anxious sleeping in that white. I'd want to clean it all the time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, comparing this to Robert Eggers' first one, The Witch, did you have any thoughts as far as things that were in common, things that were drastically different that you appreciated?
I like this movie better than The Witch, personally. I'm not a big horror movie fan. I think The Witch is more of a horror movie. I like The Witch. This movie kind of was more my style than The Witch.
Yeah.
But I think he loves to do period pieces for sure, and authentic period pieces that we don't get to see a lot. Where we're actually seeing how they spoke, what was the cadence?
That's true.
It's just very important.
I hadn't thought about that, but one of the first dialogue that when they first speak in The Witch, it's kind of similarly like you have to take it aback and realize, okay, I need to change the way I'm listening to the way these people talk because they talk differently than what I'm used to in movies.
Exactly. It's kind of like I always think about when I go to see Shakespeare plays. It's like 10 minutes into the play.
You kind of get on its wavelength.
That's when I start being able to kind of catch everything because I'm used to the language. You have to kind of readjust yourself to it. Same way with rap music. You know, you have to adjust yourself to the way when someone's rapping and they're rapping very quick, you know, and they're using poetry and rhyming, you have to kind of adjust yourself to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I feel like that is how I felt when I watched The Witch and The Lighthouse. But The Witch, I don't know. I think there's definitely that idea of tension between people in both of these movies.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know. What do you think?
I probably like The Witch a little more. I love both of them, honestly. I do like horror movies a lot. And Yeah, I like The Witch in that he's clearly very interested in history, Robert Eggers, and wanting to get the historical accuracy there. And I liked how it was, you know, this Puritan family and coming from that very religious place, and then watching that all just fall apart. And then the ending of The Witch, I was very surprised when it, because there's some question about whether something supernatural really is going on for a while.
Yeah.
And then it just goes nuts at the end. And I thought it was really fun, but yeah,
same with The Lighthouse.
Same. Yeah. That's very true. But I really love The Lighthouse as well.
I think both of them kind of fit. I think what makes Robert Eggers a very talented guy is I think they're similar, but they're very different films. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like, I like The Witch, but I loved The Lighthouse.
Yeah.
It just was, I think both of them can work for different people and what people like. And I think it's good.
The Lighthouse is way riskier, I think, just in terms of marketing and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like how do you sell this today? But it's, I'm glad it's getting all the attention it is.
I think the having two notable actors probably would help. But yeah, what were you saying, sir?
I was, I did not know if it was going to come to Little Rock at all, and I was so happy that it did.
Yeah.
And, and so another thing about the tone of it is, you know, I think a lot of it is really funny, and sometimes my audience didn't seem to get that it was being funny. That one moment that I mentioned, like, everyone did laugh, and I was like, yeah, good, I'm glad, because I felt like I was laughing by myself a lot.
I'm the jerk in the theater that when something like that happens, I laugh very loud. So I'm like, laughing very loud. But that's the, you know, that's the pain of seeing movies in Arkansas.
Yeah.
You know, so you gotta check that IMDb to see when things are coming. Yeah. I was like, I didn't think The Lighthouse was going to come. I would have people text me and be like, do you think The Lighthouse is going to come? There's just certain movies at this time of year. People are like, is it going to come here?
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I was checking IMDb every day for a while. Like, please, please.
Yeah.
Yes, it's finally here. Anyway.
Yeah.
Do you want to jump into spoilers now and talk about the ending and kind of how that fits into
your
interpretation
of
things? So if you think about your thought about isolation and masculinity and all that stuff, what do you think the ending says to that and means?
So one, it's a lighthouse, which we all, you know, you don't have to do much thinking to think what it kind of looks like.
Yeah.
And, but when he first goes up to the lighthouse and you see Willem Dafoe and the octopus, mm-hmm. Some like octopus, like goo comes down, but it looks like, semen.
Yeah.
And so that was the first moment I was like, oh, maybe they're dealing with some sort of sexual tension, not even sexual tension, but like male sexuality or something.
Yeah, I didn't put that together, but I think that's right on. I just thought that, you know, him withholding the top of the lighthouse from Robert Pattinson was a way of kind of sexual dominance. He was doing something sexual, it seemed like, and it's like, you're not allowed to do this, only me. And it was like a way to exert his power.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to talk about it either.
Yeah.
It's just his job and it's his rules. Yeah, so when it comes to when he touches the lighthouse, it turns out really, you know, at the last shot, him getting feasted on by the seagulls.
Yeah,
I wonder if, was that a consequence of him touching the lighthouse or killing Thomas?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The other Thomas, I guess. I think, of course, Thomas and the seagulls have some sort of connection. I wonder if his former Wiki what is one of the seagulls.
Yeah,
he now, because the soul went into the seagull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't, when it comes to the idea of masculinity, it seems this like desire to touch the top of that lighthouse, to see what's up in that lighthouse. And then when he gets it, it's some, you know, there's consequences to it.
It's not what he thought, or
so. Yeah, and I, you know, I still think about the ending and how it ties into that idea. And then here's a question I was going to ask you: in the scene where they're dancing, did you think they were about to kiss? Because I did.
Yeah, absolutely. There's like sexual tension suddenly. Yeah, There's moments when they are, they're just like male buddies. And then there's moments when, like in that scene of, you like my cooking, you must like my cooking, very much a husband and wife feel. And then later, that sexual tension of, are they about to make out? Like, what's going on?
And I think it kind of is. These seem like two guys who are not supposed to have sexual desire for each other because they're these strong semen wikis. But the thing that people don't think about is, like, you know, how long have these guys been since they've seen a woman, had contact in that way, had intimate contact in that way? So it would make sense that there's some sort of having that intimacy with another person that's so close, no matter their gender. It can create some sort of sexual desire. Yeah. And I wonder if that's what, you know, Robert Eggers was playing around with there.
Yeah, and that plays into the idea of isolation and isolation from women, or he thinks about the mermaid situation.
Not even like in a sexual way, but like isolation from connection with someone. Connection with another human being. And all he has is this Thomas guy, and he connects with him. And then when he connects with him, he reveals, you know, the big secret about him, and it does not end well. He spills his beans.
Yeah, he spills his beans. That's right.
Which I, you know, that's another like Freudian.
Yeah.
You know, there could be something there as well. Like
with these really subtle double entendres, like throughout, I think.
I think with Pattinson's character, there seems to be this anger that's deep inside of them that is just bottling up throughout the film. And with Thomas, he just starts out as an angry grump, you know? And I saw that throughout the film. And that's another thing I love. It's just a... that was another thing I loved, when he explodes on him and yells at him. And just those two just arguing with each other.
Yeah.
Again, like they kind of have a couple, like a married couple dynamic.
Yeah. And I think that can play into the masculinity thing too. And that so often what we perceive as masculine or powerful is just anger. And that's what's valued sometimes in our society, which I think is unhealthy.
Yeah.
But like that's to exert my dominance over you, I'm just going to get angry that you didn't clean the floor well enough or whatever and show that I'm the alpha or something. But yeah, the very ending, we'll talk about like when he goes up to the top of the lighthouse and there's that incredible shot of him like screaming and it gets all like staticky almost. It's a really interesting moment. And so I've been toying with like, what does that mean? And like, he finally gets up there. If it is something to do with like power, he's finally, you know, killed Willem Dafoe and he's climbed up and done what he wanted to do, and then the power, maybe he finally accesses that power or something and can't handle it, and it kind of overtakes him, and then in the very final moments he's dead, whether that's because of the power situation or because of seagulls getting him for his past actions or what. But I also think we're talking, it's striking me, like thinking about the sexuality aspect, I think there is, especially in maybe toxic masculinity, if we want to call it that, like a fear of, you can be a fear of your own sexuality or a fear of other men's sexuality. And so maybe the lighthouse and him saying, you can't come up here, this is only my thing. And he finally dies. He's terrified of it and can't handle it or something. I don't know. Just a theory, but I think that there's maybe some interesting things to think about with that.
Yeah. And I think there's there's definitely a 2019 because I think toxic masculinity is something we're seeing talked about more in art, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Whether it be the movie Art of Self-Defense. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't, but that's on my list.
Definitely deals with toxic masculinity, and it's something we've been seeing a lot. And it's something that I deal with and I can always connect with. So I really enjoy, even if maybe the film's not trying to say that, but from my interpretation, I really enjoy that.
For sure.
I like it, that interpretation.
Yeah. I like that too. That seems like, there's forever been an idea of like what a man's supposed to be, and maybe society at large is starting to break that down and Those of us who don't fit that mold are like, okay, good. I don't have to. And people can stop expecting me to be a muscular alpha male all the time.
Yeah. I can cry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, any last thoughts about this? I think we can kind of wrap up. I think it's been a great discussion.
I have. Or is there? There's one spoiler thing I want to ask you. Was there an image that horrified you in this movie?
I think the
creeped you out.
The smashing of the pigeon or seagull was shocking, and it wasn't horrific in the sense of like I didn't like get under my skin exactly, like, but it was just shocking, very shocking, and very visceral, kind of seeing him display like. And there's an anger. Speaking of anger, and an outburst, the sudden outburst at that seagull. I'm trying to think if there was any moment that I, felt like fearful. Maybe when they're trying to kill each other at the end, there's some moments of what's going on. Oh, and then there's the moment when I think Willem Dafoe is choking him, and then he becomes the sea monster, whether that's in his head or what. But that's a really interesting. It kind of freaked me out.
Yeah. I think the image for me is the mermaid screaming.
Oh yeah.
Terrifying. I don't know what that was, but
well, great. Thank you so much again for joining me for this. This has been really good, and
no problem.
I'd love to have you back another time. I'm not sure how many, this is technically season two of the podcast. I'm not sure how many episodes I'm doing, but I'm trying to hit some of the high level movies from this kind of award season time. So I will, I'll be in touch with you.
Please do. There's a lot of good ones to talk about. So thank you for having me.
Very, very welcome. Thanks, James. A big thank you again to James for joining me on this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe. You can hit us up with a rating and review on iTunes. That goes a long way to help new listeners find us. And you can follow me on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, at Arthouse Garage, Letterboxd at Arthouse Garage, and keep track of the things I'm watching and thinking about as I watch movies. On Instagram, I've started doing these mini movie essays where I kind of break down a theme or an idea in the space that an Instagram post will allow. And then I have movie reviews on my website at arthousegarage.com. So please check all that out. Thank you so much again for listening. And if you have any thoughts or questions about The Lighthouse, reach out at andrew@arthousegarage.com or on any of those socials. Thanks, you guys. Till next time, keep it snob free. Bye-bye.